Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good morning. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Thank you for tuning in to Locker Talk with host Barry Barnes on the Bachelor News Radio Network, where you hear about NFL stars of tomorrow today. I'm your host, Barry Barnes, founder and CEO of Locker-Report.com. You can always reach out to me at any one of my social handles on Twitter at Locker_Report, Facebook, LockerReport.com, Instagram, Locker Report 100, all small caps, or simply just shoot me an email via at Barry Barnes at Locker-Report.com. Well, I hope everyone is having themselves a great day, that you made to your destinations on time, that everyone is safe. That's the most important thing, and that you guys are surrounded by some good weather. I know here in Baltimore it's a little cold, but it's nowhere near how cold it was in KC last week. I tell you, Kansas City, that's a different type of cold. But at the same time, it definitely was warm in the feeling and the atmosphere that was laid out by the city, of course, and then at the same time with the Kansas City Chiefs organization, how they was able to take care of me, Locker Report in the whole with the NFL. So it was definitely a great experience covering the AFC Championship game, which I will talk about and I would say about – that's what I talk about with the championship game and also talk about my interview with Kansas City Chiefs center Austin Ritter, who came through the NFL regional combine process. Fortunately, the Chiefs had won because it probably would have been a tough way to try to get an interview if they would have lost with a player from the regional combine, knowing that the Chiefs did lose that game. Sometimes, especially in the magnitude, and I tell you, covering a championship game in the NFL, that losing team is really, really hard to try to get interviews. It's one of those situations that you just want to, as a person, as a human being, you just want to walk away. You'll just walk up to them, just pat them on their back, you know, and don't say no words. Just keep on walking. So I'm glad that was not the situation with the Chiefs. I was able to get an interview with Austin. You guys will hear it after we have to take a little short pause in a couple of minutes. So you guys will definitely hear what he had to say about his experience and also his experience going to the regional combine. Most importantly, he will join Locker Talk after the Super Bowl. So he will come on air as for an interview. We're going to take a quick pause. We're going to get straight to his interview, and then I'll talk to you about the AFC Championship game. Listen to Locker Talk on the Bachelor News Radio Network. Staying with Austin Ritter, starting center of the Kansas City Chiefs. You know, Austin, one of the things that we look at with Patrick Mahomes, that with him being creative on the field, you know, he got tons of weapons around him, but you up front, the center, help him to be creative, to do the things in the backfield. How does it feel to know that you're an essential part, probably not one of the biggest focal points, but you're an essential part to your team's offensive success?
I don't think it's set in. You know, I don't think this... We're still going, so the whole season I haven't really looked back at it. You know, it's just been a week-to-week mentality, and I'm just one of 11 guys on offense out there trying to do my job the best I can, and we've got a hell of a leader at quarterback, and you know, he makes it look easy, and he makes it easy on us. He sees things, we see things, and it's just a rhythm everybody's in. It's unbelievable right now.
Knowing that you're going to be the starting center for this team coming this season, came in halfway last year with Morsi being in and out. When you knew that you were going to be the starter, what were some of the things you prepared yourself on the offseason to get you to this point now going to the Super Bowl?
Working hard, just continuing to stay hungry and stay on a grind in the offseason, pushing myself, trying to get myself in the best shape physically, mentally, getting ready for, you know, February football. I think anything's possible with this team, and I knew that this offseason, and it was my job to lose, and it was just something I had to embrace, you know, and taking on the role, and I think we're still hungry. We've still got more to go.
I mean, you're very disciplined. You're very patient. You don't need a lot of misdirections, a lot of jet sweeps, and doing a lot of moving behind the line. For you to stay focused like that, what are some of the things that you go through your mind to make sure that you don't get caught with, you know, mental errors or holding and stuff like that? How do you keep yourself focused?
Practice. I think our coaches do an unbelievable job of preparing us every week on what we're going to see. I think that's honestly one of the biggest keys there is our coaches. I mean, they do a hell of a job with the game plan. I know they spend hours. They live at the facility putting this stuff together and telling us, you know, these are the looks you can get on these types of things. And, you know, I think the scout team on defense, just everybody in this organization on a preparation standpoint, I mean, it's all hands on deck. I think that's one of the difference makers with that. I think I go into the game knowing all week, like, I'm preparing for a look that I'm going to get in this game.
As you finished, you coming through the regional combine process, a lot of offensive linemen has used that platform like you did to get into the league. Right now, you don't realize it, but you're a huge inspiration to those offensive linemen that's coming in. For the guys that's looking to go through the NFL regional combine this year and the years to come, what are some of the advice that you would like to offer to those guys on how to prepare to get to the next level?
So it was my agent originally that threw out the idea, because I didn't get any Senior Bowl invites. I didn't get, obviously, the scouting combine invite. You know, I think you definitely use that platform. You know, I don't know, I can't say 100% if that was the reason I got drafted or not,
right.
But I think that platform, I think going to the Super Regional Combine, and, you know, I remember the grandstands outside when we were doing the offensive line drills. I mean, there was every NFL team there, and, you know, I think that was invaluable to have that opportunity to showcase what I could do. I knew I could play at this level, and I knew I had good combine numbers. And, you know, that platform, you know, I can't put into words what that did for me.
Right.
I definitely think that's a huge, huge deal.
Right. Normally that platform is used for teams to build depth. You found out a way how to become a star, something that nobody was looking for. What are some of the things that you can say, the preparation you put in, to say to yourself that you knew that you were going to be a star? Everyone else had to realize that you were.
You know, I was told by a vet when I was doing the combine training and all that. I was told by a guy who actually won the Super Bowl, David Boss, and he worked with me. And, you know, he told me right off the bat, he's like, you know, if you're drafted, you know, it doesn't matter the round. He's like, undrafted. He's like, you're going to get your opportunity. And he's like, the best advice I can give you is prepare like a senior. And because you're going to get an opportunity. And I think that's something I should stress to everybody that gets the opportunity to do this, whether it's, you know, preseason, regular season, you know, it's 100% injury rate, and that's how I got my start. And you know, you have to be ready. You have to be ready to step in there and go. And that's probably what got me here.
Since 2013, at least one player that came through the combine won a Super Bowl. You one of the guys that's up next to win the Super Bowl, man.
I like that.
Man, good luck to you, man.
Thank you very
much. Don't worry, I'm going to be following you. I'll be right on top of it, man.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks, Austin. You got it.
Appreciate it.
Tyler Pope, that was Austin Ritter, center for the Kansas City Chiefs, who was a central part of the Kansas City Chiefs I would say they'll run to the Super Bowl this year. Thank you guys for tuning in. This is Lock and Talk with host Barry Barnes on the Besser News Radio Network, where you hear about NFL stars of tomorrow, today. Austin is definitely one of those stars that will be recognized tomorrow in the NFL, but with their Super Bowl run, he's slowly going to become, you know, he's definitely going to become a star right before your eyes. Probably, I would say, definitely going into next season, that's for sure, because that offensive line, and to see how that offensive line, how close these guys are. They're very tight-knit group, spend time with each other off the field, always reviewing tape together. And when the part that's so dynamic with an offense, and I know that we see the big pieces. We know we see Harmon out there. We know we see Hill. We see Sammy Watkins. And, of course, Patrick Mahomes. You see all these great pieces there. But you have to realize, and one of the first things should always come to your mind, is that in order for Patrick Mahomes to be who he is, for Williams, the running back, to be who he is, and for the receivers to be able to do what they're able to do after the catch, always starts up front. And when we hear about quarterbacks that struggle, the first thing we always look to dissect is that offensive line. Well, they don't have enough time. They're not blocking very well. You know, this offensive line is built for more of a rushing attack. You know, this team is missing their left tackle. They're missing their right guard. It's always something about an offense that falls apart that automatically make people look at the offensive line. But when a team is so explosive offensively, the offensive line is never mentioned. It's funny how that works. But not on this show, not in this situation, because not only because this offensive line is very talented, and also, most importantly, they do have a player from the NFL Regional Combine, a platform that, like I had said in the interview, with Austin, that the Regional Combine platform is not set up for scouts to come and find the next starter. It's really put together so that these players can help, most importantly, build depth. Now, if they find a diamond in the rough, which many teams have coming through the Regional Combine, that's a great thing. It opens up, just like with Austin. It opened it up for him. But when they come in with the mindset, they basically trying to figure out a way how they're going to build their roster. Who's going to be that extra ace they can bring on that can really help this team on special teams? From that point, it's on to the player. Now, for some players, the Regional Combine is the reason why they got into the NFL. But it's down to the individual. The platform is basically saying, here are the scouts. All 32 teams are representative. You was invited. You was accepted to come to the workout. Now, here we go. Everything falls on the player from that point. Even when they get to their pro days and when having a successful workout at the NFL Regional Combine, that helps small school guys to be able to get attendance to a pro day, whether it's at a school that's near their hometown or a big school that's near the school they played at. So the Regional Combine helps out, but it ultimately comes down to the individual. And Austin is one of those guys that, as an individual, went to the platform, used that platform, excelled both workouts, and then was able to get drafted by the Washington Redskins in the 7th round in the 2015 NFL draft. In the 7th round, 222nd overall, spent two seasons with the Washington Redskins, the middle part of 2016, he wound up signing up with the Cleveland Browns, was with those guys through 2017, and then signed with the Chiefs last year as a free agent. And when that happened, he came in on a time when Moise, who was a starting center for the Chiefs at that time, when he went down to an injury, that opened the door for Austin to slide right in. And the Chiefs did not miss a beat. Now, with Mitch, because he was a veteran, when he came back, you know, Austin, you know, had to share time with him. But the Chiefs had a decision to make during this offseason. Do we keep our veteran, Mitch, or do we go with the new young guy who's doing very well, who did very well in I would say in spurts, pretty much for like half the season while Mitch was recovering. The Chiefs made the move, got rid of Mitch, signed Austin, and here we go. Austin, on the same page, only had five holding penalties called. Close to 1,100 snaps, he only was called five times for holding. That's exceptional. That is fantastic. So it really shows that he definitely studied the craft of the game, and he definitely paid attention to what he needed to do in the field, and most importantly, he understands his quarterback. There's a lot of offensive linemen that can't necessarily play with a style of play that Patrick Mahomes has. When you have a quarterback that not only can stay in the pocket, but it's very active behind him, how he do a lot of rollouts to the left and to the right, and how he have an unorthodox throwing method. And for offensive linemen, you have to be mindful that, hey, I have a quarterback back here that can, at the spur of the moment, off instincts, can do something that's phenomenal, where he'll probably take off and run, where he probably will have to come back to the left side twice, you know, or he's going to have to, you know, step up to the pocket and take off. As an offensive lineman, I cannot get caught in doing some kind of foolish, boneless play or bonehead play of holding or pushing the back, you know, or blocking the back or, you know, crap back blocking. None of that stuff. Blind sides, all those things. You have to be mindful that on that football field is so fast. And you have to be on your toes as an offensive lineman to not make those mistakes, because you don't want to be in a situation where your quarterback, that your team is struggling to try to make a play, going up against a good defense like the Chiefs going to have to go up against with the 49ers. Don't want to get into that situation. Then all of a sudden a big play comes, and then all of a sudden you got to call it back because of holding. Fortunately, Austin was not that type of player. He definitely stuck to his guns all season. Now he's going to Miami with the Chiefs, the fight to win Super Bowl 54. You're listening to Locker Talk with host Barry Bonds on the Bachelor News Radio Network, where you hear about NFL stars tomorrow and today. Now, next week's show is going to be awesome. We're going to talk about another player from the Regional Combine platform that's a backup to Jimmy G, and his name Nick Mullins. You heard me talk about this kid all last year because he had a lot of playing time because Jimmy Garoppolo was injured with ACL. So I'm going to talk about that. And also, I'm going to throw out a conspiracy. I'm going to throw something out there only because I can. It's my show. I can do it. So I'm going to throw some stuff out there, you know, just dealing with Nick. Make sure you tune in. I will break down the Super Bowl between the Chiefs and the 49ers. We'll give my prediction. It's going to be tough. I've been looking at videos of both teams all week long. I will watch some more footage with those guys going into next week. Primarily their losses, really break that down. So next week, a unique take on what I think could happen with this game. Some things to point out that I'm quite sure you guys won't hear nowhere else. But make sure you guys tune in to Locker Talk next week. And also always go to the Bachelor News Radio Network, where you can hear from all our shows, from the Down Some Files, when you go to Dr. Larry's show with Sandy Secrets. Make sure you guys check out all the shows. We cover everything from religion, education, social, politics, and, of course, sports. Make sure you guys tune into the network and also check us out on TuneIn. But make sure you guys be back next week as I'll talk about the Super Bowl, talk about the players from the NFL Regional Combine that will have an impact on there, and then make sure you guys tune in a week from now or 2 weeks from now when we will have Austin Ritter come on to Locker Talk. Everyone stay blessed. Look forward to talking to you guys next week.
you for tuning in to Pro Talk with the Mighty Oba. Today on Pro Talk, we have with us one of the finest individuals I have ever met in my life. She is the only person with a NFL-sanctioned event at the Super Bowl. For now, for 21 years, she has put forth the Super Bowl Gospel Celebration, in which she has given NFL players to bring their testimonies of faith. And I mean, many of them are world-shaking. When you hear their stories, the story of Tommy Harris, the story of Ray Lewis, all of those people came to the Super Bowl Gospel Celebration, including the great Russell Wilson, who I call the General, and Troy Vincent, and many others. She has been honored all over this country for her achievements. She is one of the great people that you will ever have the opportunity of meeting, Miss Melanie Few, the creator and founder of Super Bowl Gospel Celebration. Hello, Melanie.
Hey, how are you?
How'd you like that introduction?
I loved it, but you're my friend. You're my friend, so you're partial.
But truthful.
You're biased.
But truthful. Knowing that you're a woman of faith and have one of the best hearts I have ever met.
Now, oh, thank you so much.
Well, it's my pleasure. You have treated me with kindness since I started covering the Super Bowl Gospel Celebration many, many years ago at this point.
I know. It's been so many years.
Well, tell me, what made you do or what made you create the Super Bowl Gospel Celebration? How did it come about?
Well, it came about because I had gone to the Super Bowl with a friend, and I wasn't thinking about doing a gospel event or a church event or anything like that. And when I went, I thought, wow, this is amazing. You know, this weekend, it's so much excitement, so much activity, people just full of excitement.
Mm-hmm.
I had the idea. I realized I felt like something was missing. And I said, you know, there's no gospel concert at Super Bowl.
Right.
And so I wrote the NFL. And I had about 7 years of rejection letters. And after 7 years of rejection letters, I wrote the NFL Players Association. I wrote to Jean Upshaw, who at the time was a friend of mine, her boss. And so after I did that, he was like, yeah, okay. And I got so sick of writing an email. And he said, I'll tell you what. If you can get Gladys Knight to do the Super Bowl Gospel Celebration, then I'll help you do it. You know, we can do it up under the umbrella of the NFLPA.
Mm.
Little did he know that my aunt and Gladys went to high school together. And I said, oh, you haven't seen anything but work. And so, to make a long story short, we delivered Gladys and had all this other amazing talent. And as the years went on, it was under the Players Association. And so after that, they stopped the NFL from doing public events, and the NFLPA, excuse me. And we thought Super Bowl Gospel was just going to go away. And then we heard from the NFL, and they said, hey, you know, the players seem to love this event. We're going to sanction you.
Hmm.
We did not know what sanction meant.
Mm.
And I was hoping it meant let's meet up at the bank, but it didn't mean that. It means they give you the rights and the blessings to go forward and have a sanction with the intellectual property of the league.
Yes.
So that's what it meant. And we have been on this journey now for 21 years. We had some of the most amazing talent from everybody. I could go on and on.
Yes.
So I'm really scared to even name names, but from, you know, Kirk Franklin to Fantasia to Yolanda Adams to Donna McClurkin, I mean, Erica Campbell, Mary, I could go, Patti LaBelle, I could go on 24 hours naming,
yes,
you know, the talent, and I shouldn't have done that because I know I've missed, you know, left some folks out, but it's just been a blessing. It's been a blessing to be on this journey 21 years and to be honest with you, I had said, Lord, please let me make it to 20 because it'll be in my hometown.
Mm-hmm.
I did not really know that I would go to a 21. Because he answered my prayer at 20. I said, you know, if I make it to 20, you know, I'll be at peace that I made it 20. And he gave me the ability and the blessing to be surrounded by an amazing team and people that have poured into my life. So I was going to be okay with that. But he saw fit to, you know, bless me with being able to stay on this journey, and I'm grateful.
Melanie, what has been your greatest struggle over the years with Super Bowl Gospel Celebration?
There have been many, because when people come to an event like this, they come and enjoy it, but they don't really realize the sacrifices that are made and how much, and they should. It's their job to have a fun night out and
right.
to enjoy it. Well, I'll tell anybody what goes on, and I've worked many shows, including the Grammys. Years ago, I worked the Grammys. All hell can be breaking loose backstage, but as long as no one in the audience knows it,
exactly.
it does not matter. So I'll tell anybody, you know, when you have a small team, you know, I'm a small business owner, and we don't have, you know, millions and millions, you know, nothing like that. It's when you are coming from the ground up, because I'm blessed to have a TV partner that, you know, definitely feels the gap with the production, but there's so many more layers, and, you know, from graphics to PR to you name it, things that have to be done on our side, and all that has to be paid for. And so as a small business owner, sometimes, you know, getting those invoices and having to pay them, it's hard.
Right.
But you have to do what you have to do, and you have to respect people's time and their God-given gifts. And I think that's why I've had the same team for 13 and 14 years, is because I try to put in the universe what I want back, which is respect.
Right. Now, tell me, Melanie, who have been your favorite NFL players that have helped you?
You know what? I can't go there because I'm scared. I'm going to.
Well, you've had certain people that were been there, like Tommy Harris.
Okay, so, yeah.
Michael Gaines.
So, Michael and Tommy have been here almost the whole ride.
Right.
They came on board, I think, 2006 or 2007. I don't remember the exact year, but they've been on this journey with me a long time. Ori Johnson been on this journey
right.
pretty much the whole ride. Brian Scott didn't come too much farther behind them. So there have been those guys that have been rock solid, supportive, and committed to, you know, the cause. And then there are guys that, you know, are currently still playing, like your Russell Wilson, like your Von Miller, like your Jameis Winston, like your Cam Newton, who have also been supportive.
Right.
It's a different kind of support because, you know, they are have started to come over these last few years and just really love it.
Mm-hmm. Now, I remember there were some real lean years, even when I was covering, that you and I talked and you said that I believe it was around the time frame of the economic downturn. Am I right?
Oh, yeah. There's been plenty of those.
And a lot of the sponsors pulled away. How did you manage those challenges?
You know, personal sacrifices. You know, that's why I tell anybody, I look at things very, very different now. When I go to a show, I look at things very differently because I know the sacrifices that may have been made to pull it off. So, you know, that's what, yeah, I could just say, yeah, there have been many lean years. And I'm just grateful that, you know, I came from a praying family that just allowed me to just say, you know what? I'll make personal sacrifices because God has not released me. and I will do what I got to do because this is his will. But there have been a lot of personal sacrifices made.
Mm. And during the tenure of this great event, tell me about some of the performers that have really stepped up to, I mean, you don't have to name names because I know there's a whole bunch of them, but I know that you have some great relationships with some of the gospel superstars that have helped you get this program forward many times over. Who are, without saying names, what have they done to really help you keep the Super Bowl gospel celebration going?
Yeah, many artists. It could be as simple as praying for us. It could be as simple as, you know, I'm not going to charge you my normal rate because I know that a percentage of the sales go to charity, and I know that, you know, that this is a journey because many of them have done branded events on their own. So they know it's nowhere near as easy as it appears. Mm. So it's been many over the years.
And I know Donnie McClurkin is one that has showed
up. Oh,
Lord
have mercy.
Uh-huh. Now, how's his health? I know he had some health challenges. Is he going to be able to participate this year?
He is participating. No one's told me anything.
You know, he was in a car accident about a year or two ago.
Oh, yeah, he's much, much better.
Okay.
And he will be there this year.
Excellent, excellent. So, yeah, that's what I was referring to. I knew as far as any challenge.
Yeah, I was like, what happened?
Hmm?
I was about to say, what happened?
Right. No, I was talking about the car accident as far as him. And, you know, I know he's released a new album, so obviously I did see he had committed to being on Super Bowl Gospel Celebration again. And because of you, I've met him and many others many times over. If you notice, I'm always posting pictures from Super Bowl Gospel Celebration.
And you should, because you're family.
Absolutely. And I consider you family also. You know that.
I know it.
What? Tell me too, Melanie, what has been your favorite city out of all this over the last 20 years?
Need you ask Atlanta.
I know Atlanta is definitely, that's your hometown.
Atlanta,
well, let's exclude it. Outside of Atlanta, what city?
Oh, God. Let me just think. Been so many cities where the people have been so wonderful. I mean, Minneapolis was a really great, Houston was huge. We were at Joel Osteen's church.
Right, right.
It's been a few because God has been so faithful. It's been a few.
How about if I do this? I'm going to give you a city, and then you tell me what was your thoughts of it. And the first city I wanted to give you was Detroit. I thought Detroit was such a mecca of gospel, and you had such a historic lineup there. That was one of the first gospel celebrations that I had went to, and I just thought Detroit was an awesome city. I think it was at the Scottish. It was either Masonic Cathedral.
Yes. That's been years.
Yes. Yes. Patti LaBelle was there. The Winans, Clark Sisters, and you've always had great lineups. But how did you like Detroit? Because of its historical significance.
Of course, I loved it. Now, that cold was on some different levels.
I know that's right.
That and Minneapolis. Minneapolis, I couldn't even feel my hand and feet.
Right.
I think they're still there, but
yes.
I'm not sure. I would have to say, let's see. Oh, it's just been so many good cities.
Miami, you've been there. This will be the third time, right?
I've been there a few times. I mean, it's always good. But there are some cities where, you know, because we go wherever the Super Bowl is, but there are some cities where people are just more convicted about gospel.
Yes.
And, you know, gospel music and just loving it.
Yes. New Orleans, that was an interesting city for you.
Yeah, that's been years.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, it was definitely interesting. Because that was right after 9/11, so people had to get to the stadium so early because of, you know, security checks.
Yes. And that has changed a lot, too.
Yes.
Over the years, security for events and everything else.
Uh-huh.
But this is your third Super Bowl gospel celebration in Miami, correct?
I think it's the fourth, if I remember. I got to go back and look.
Okay. It might be. Over the last 21 years, it could be your fourth.
I think it's the fourth because, you know, it goes there all the time because it's warm.
Right. And the last one was New Orleans against the Indianapolis Colts. That was the last one. That was 2009 because they made them renovate the stadium.
Year.
Yeah, that was 2009.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, they made them renovate the stadium after that.
Yep, it has been years.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like I say, that one's not one of my fondest memories, only because, oh, no, you're talking about we had Fantasia that year. That was a good year.
Mm-hmm.
Fantasia, Lecrae, yes, I know what you're talking. I'm getting my New Orleans years confused because it's been there twice.
Yes, yes. Yeah, there was two New Orleans years, 2002 and 2013. That was Ray Lewis, his last Super Bowl game. And if I remember, you had it at New Orleans University, I think was
yeah, that for sure.
Right, okay.
It was in New Orleans University.
Yes. See, I've been around a long time, too.
You do. You totally do.
Well, let me ask you this. Your relationship with BET started a few years ago as far as the production of Super Bowl Gospel Celebration. How is that working out for you?
It's working out fine.
Mm-hmm.
We produced it and we licensed it to them, and now the last 2 years they have produced it, the last two or three, and so it's a blessing. It's a blessing.
Huge numbers for you.
Yeah, and that they have been a wonderful partner because, you know, most people would not be able to pull off something like this in the way that we've grown, wouldn't be able to pull it off on their own.
Right.
And so,
during the process, I know you're very close with your dad. How has he helped you along the way?
Oh, my God. I would not have been able to do this without him. The sacrifices, when we talk about those personal sacrifices, he's made many.
Mm.
And he's just, you know, he and my mother, just were days when I wanted to give up, they were there to say, you know what, you're not giving up, no ma'am.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to do a release from anything until God releases you.
Yes. One thing, Melanie, I've noticed over the years, especially with Super Bowl Gospel Celebration, when I just look at the landscape, but I've been able to tell the challenges of African-American radio in the country. And there were several companies that I remember being at the Gospel Celebration the first time I covered it in Miami. That was the Colts against the Bears. And those companies no longer exist. Has that affected Super Bowl Gospel Celebration, the challenges to black radio? Because, you know, there's not as many stations as there once was.
Exactly. You know, it's been a blessing to, you know, get the support that I have gotten from black radio. And I would not be here if it were not
right.
for black radio. Did you say that question one more time? Because I want to make sure I'm clear about what you're saying.
Well, I was saying that my first time covering the Super Bowl Gospel Celebration in Miami, there were a lot of black-affiliated radio stations, their corporate people that were there. They had tables in the Miami reception area. A lot of those companies are no longer in the radio business or they've downsized. I was just wondering, has that affected Super Bowl Gospel Celebration any?
You know, a lot lot of people, if it has, we haven't noticed it yet.
Mm.
Maybe because we get so much local African-American radio partners and TV partners because we embrace African-American media. So unless I haven't noticed it, maybe the PR agency has noticed it.
Right.
Because I just see beautiful people walking in that are fresh. I don't necessarily know who they are.
Right. Yeah, I was just wondering if that had affected it, because I remember that particular Super Bowl gospel celebration, Bobby Jones was there. I can't remember every person that was there, but it was a great turnout, and it was at the convention centers attached to the hotel in Miami.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And I'm looking for a Super Bowl gospel celebration. And guess where my hotel was?
Where?
The hotel where Super Bowl Gospel Celebration was.
Oh, wow.
So Pat's wandering around by himself trying to find everything and didn't realize that my room was upstairs.
What a blessing.
So all I had to do was walk over. I hung out and I made sure I met the person that created Super Bowl Gospel Celebration, and that was your
show. Yep, and it's been years.
Years. And you have done a fantastic job over the years. And, you know, I appreciate you taking time out to talk to me in between all the, you know, as busy as you are taking my calls. And a lot of times I'm just calling to say hello.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
But
I know my buddy Michael Gaines has been a – those guys have really come through for you the last few years.
Oh, Lord, right? Yes. No doubt about it.
And he's a fantastic singer himself.
He is. He's amazing.
Yeah, Tommy Harris. I didn't realize Tommy Harris could sing that well.
He has a beautiful voice.
Mm-hmm. How did his testimony that year affect you?
Oh, it was amazing because it went viral. I think it got like 6 million hits or something.
Right, right. And I never knew that until he stood up there and gave his testimony, along with Ray Lewis. Ray Lewis is another one.
Yeah.
That stood up in front of people and gave a tremendous testimony on how far his faith in God has brought him. And you have touched a lot of people, Miss Few. Let me tell you.
God has been so good.
What are your plans this week coming up?
Well, this week, you mean for Super Bowl?
For Super Bowl, yes.
You know what? I had a death in my family, so I'm kind of really preparing for.
I did see that, and my deepest sympathy is extended.
But when I get, so I was supposed to leave for Miami today, and that's not happening. So I'm going to just, when I get there, just really be focusing on an amazing show and really just putting my focus there. Like I said, I'm usually in the market much earlier, and I just, you know, that was not able to happen this time. So God knows what is best.
Mm-hmm.
And, he will, you know, everything will still be able to be what it's going to be when I get there.
Right. My deepest sympathy extended
to
you on your loss. I did see that on Facebook. And, you know, if there's anything I can do, I'm always in your corner.
Oh, I appreciate you so much.
Yes, indeed. So you're not going to get there until next week.
No, I'm getting there. I'm sorry. I'm getting there on Saturday.
On Saturday. Okay. Okay.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that makes sense. A lot of people don't realize how much groundwork goes into these types of events, do they?
They don't, because you get there, and, you know, you have so much work to do. People, you can't just show up the day before. It didn't work like that.
Mm-hmm. And I know you are extremely busy, and I want to tell this story on how good of a person you are in our last couple of minutes. I showed up to Houston and to pick up my press pass, and it was not there. And I knew you were busy. I was very reluctant to call you, and I said, well, let me try. I called you, and this lady picked up the phone and made sure that I had my press credentials to get in.
I had to. You were my friend.
because they were about to tell me you're out of luck, buddy. Well, Melanie, I appreciate all that you've done for me over the years, and Super Bowl Gospel Celebration has been one of the great events that I get to cover at the Super Bowl each and every year. But most of all, I think I've met and made one of my good friends in yourself, because you are one of the finest people I have truly ever met.
And I say the same thing back to you, ditto.
I appreciate you so much.
I appreciate you, and I know your schedule is busy.
I will see you this week.
See you this week coming up.
And I'm going to be talking to some of your favorite NFL guys. They're coming on Radio Row to talk about Super Bowl Gospel Celebration. And we're going to make sure that this interview is up in the next couple of days, okay?
I appreciate you so much.
I know you do better.
Okay. Thank you, Pat.
Hey, my best to Dad. You take care of yourself, and I'll see you in a couple of days, okay?
Okay, see ya.
All right, take care. That is all for us here at Pro Talk with the founder and creator of Super Bowl Gospel Celebration, one of the finest people I have truly ever met, Miss Melanie Few. She is the only person of color with a NFL-sanctioned Super Bowl event, Super Bowl Gospel Celebration. Make sure you tune into it on your BET affiliate, and wherever you're seeing this, it's on next week. I mean, it is a great celebration. I'm the Mighty Oba. We'll see you next week.